sports and politics.
You wanna get ready to rumble?
You wanna talk back? You in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy sports and politics. Fantasy sports and politics.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's me, Mr. FSP, back up here in the place to be, riding solo just for now, because my partner, the ATM, he has to work. That's what he said. Here's what I'm going to say. He is so petrified at what's going to happen to him this weekend, this Sunday. Actually started on Thursday, but once all the games kick off, he is petrified at how I plan to utterly destroy him in all the leagues we play in. Give you a quick background. Welcome to Fantasy Sports and Politics. The number to call for today's episode is 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. We also have the chat room open if you want to go to blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Click on the current on-air episode, and you can jump in the chat room there and post your opinions, your thoughts, and how you feel about what's going on, and we can get that chopped up. Now, on today's episode, we plan to break down NFL Season 1, Week 1, ladies and gentlemen, Week 1. It's here. And it got off to a rocky start in Denver. We'll talk about that. My cousin and I got into a heated debate, a really heated debate at the end of Thursday's show. I mean, he has his reasons for saying what he said. I have my reasons for saying what I said, but I'm going to bring that up. Maybe you'll call in today. But why the NFL and MLB couldn't come to an agreement and have the game happen in Baltimore? I don't think the outcome would have been any different, to be honest. But I'll talk about that. We'll also talk about Floyd Money Mayweather versus Canelo. I forgot his nickname, but Canelo Alvarez. It's sad that he's one of the best fighters in the world. I don't even know his ring name. But, again, I'm an MMA guy. A lot of people out there are boxing guys and gals, and they'll talk about it all day. But not me. We're going to talk about it today, though. It's the fight that everybody wanted to see. You know, since the Pac-Man deal fell through and all that, this is the next best thing. Now, I will admit, I may even go and watch this fight. This fight is so big, where I'm at right now, I'm in Maryland, that the movie theaters will be showing it in the movie theaters. I've never heard of that. I've never heard, maybe because I don't follow boxing that much, but I've never heard of a big fight, or a fight in general, being shown at a movie theater. Whoever thought about it and blessed off on it, it's a very smart business move. I'll talk about that as well when Jerry gets in. Of course, he is the boxing guy. I'm the MMA guy. I don't want to pontificate too much on boxing. Because I used to like it as a kid. You know, I'm 37 years old now, and I can tell you, I don't have the same taste for boxing anymore because it's just not that good of a sport for me anymore. But Floyd Mayweather, $140-some-odd million in one bank account, only, unless he cuts some type of deal, $100,000 of that is secured by the FDCI or the FCDI, whatever it's called, the federal insurance people. If I should know this because I used to work at a bank, but only $100,000 of $145 million. Unless, of course, unless he has some type of deal going where that money, all of it's insured. I mean, at least he can keep an eye on it, but is that all the money? No, that ain't all the money. That's all the money he's made in the past couple of years. But that kid probably has tons and tons of money. But I'm bringing my co-host real quick and let him pontificate, which is arrogantly speak, by the way, about Floyd Mayweather and stuff like that. What's up, JT?
Floyd Mayweather going to kick some boot day when it comes up to next week, I guess.
On the 14th. It's the 14th.
On the 14th. Yes, that's what is now, a week from today. I'm just calling to let you know I'm on my way home. I got to get cleaned up and get myself situated, and then I'll be calling back to you. I just want to make sure that you knew I wasn't going to supposedly shy away from you guys talking about my teams. So I just wanted to call
you. Did you open the show that way?
No, I didn't. I had no idea how you opened the show. I saw the time, and I just got out of where I was working at. And I'm working on getting home, which will say, take me about 10, 15 minutes. I get cleaned up, and then I'll be calling back. And then you can relay to me or regurgitate to me what you had said earlier in the program before I jumped on.
Not a problem. I mean, hey, tell Jermichael Finley I said I hope all goes well with this latest kidnapping that you're going to do to him. You already did it. You just said you have some business you have to take care of. You got to clean up. That tells me you gagged him. You put him back in the trunk. Then you dug a ditch. You threw him down there and told him, don't appear until you need him in the season. And I guess you're probably not going to be using him.
And he said it's all good. He said it's all good.
All right, JT, just give you a heads up. We're talking about NFL Week 1. We're talking about NFL Week 1, Mayweather-Alvarez, and we're going to discuss a little bit about the conversation my cousin and I had at the end of Thursday's show. I wanted to get your thoughts on it as far as the issue between the MLB and the NFL, why that couldn't take place.
Okay, I'll get back to you as soon as I can. How's that?
That works for me, old guy. See you later.
All right.
Have my money. All right, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to ride solo for a little bit, which is fine. I have no problem with that. All you need to do, if you want to chime in and discuss whatever topic it is you want to discuss, 347-637-3220. And we'll be on the air with that. Right now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a quick break, maybe a two-minute break. When I come back, you can expect to hear a little more about fights and NFL. I'm going to talk about the Peyton Manning seven-touchdown game. Seven TDs, game one, against a very good defense. Can I repeat it? We'll talk about it. See you in a minute.
If you want to add a little spice to your talk radio, try No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor every Friday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Arguably, No Chaser is the most, shall we say, controversial show in the lineup. Let me give you a couple of direct quotes. If LeBron took a shit in the middle of the street in broad daylight, his Boy Scouts would say, it's the greatest one ever. Here's another. Y'all dumb donkeys keep believing what Obama says. Just watch. This country is going to get worse, and I'm just going to sit back and say, I told you so. I can only assume this is why the show is called No Chaser. You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. It's No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor. information, motivation, variety. You all know and love her from the WNBA, but now you can hear her every Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. It's Time Out with Sylvia Crawley.
This is Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. I'm your host. I have a very interesting show lined up for you tonight. We have Mr. Otis Winston. Otis, thank you so much for being on the show.
You know it's my pleasure, Sylv.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're back live in living color with Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. It's me, Mr. FSP, proudly representing for my guys. As you know, my co-host, JKTM Money, stepped away. He'll be back in maybe 5-10 minutes. But right now, I'm going to bring in the Prince of Pontification and Mr. Trivia, the trivia guy. Stomp. The trivia guy. Paul, is that you on the line?
Yep, that is me.
It is
your trivia.
Yes. So, ladies, I mean, Paul is this encyclopedia of sports facts. If you don't believe me, just ask him. He'll tell you. Trust me, he'll tell you. So, Paul, we're going to get into some conversation today. We're going to talk about week one in the NFL, some boxing, and we'll also discuss the whole Broncos versus Ravens situation, the game, as well as why it took place in Denver as opposed to Baltimore. But
yeah.
Before we get started, do you have a trivia question for our listeners?
Which sport do you want it?
Well, I was thinking about that one about Kirk Douglas. I think that's the one that we discussed last time about the sports.
Which one?
Not Kirk Douglas. What's my guy that played in that certain sport who was an actor, but he was doing really well.
Yes. I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
How should I phrase this one then? I'm trying to think of a good way to put it into a question. Because I know the answer, but I'm trying to...
I got it. Just give me the name of the actor.
The name of the actor is Kurt Russell.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you recall, when we first started the show, we did some trivia, and I gave away items for trivia. I'm going to do it again, depending on what happens with this trivia question. I've given away tickets to see the Colts versus the Eagles. I've given away authenticated autographed photos of Ray Lewis and other folks. And Jerry's a big recipient of that. I'm still mad about that. This was before Jerry became part of the show. But Kurt Russell, he was a big-time player. I'm not talking about with the ladies. He was that, too. But he was a big-time player in a sport. Here's your task, ladies and gentlemen. Call in. Tell us what sport, what team, and give me his stat line. Okay? I'm looking for the sport Kurt Russell excelled in on the pro level, ladies and gentlemen, the pro level. Yes, Kurt Russell was a pro athlete. If you didn't know, I didn't know until the King of Pontification told me. I want to know what sport, his stat line, and the team. First person to do it may receive a prize. You got to dial 347-637-3220. Again, that number is 347-637-3220. Or you can go to our chat room and type it in. First person to do it will win. All right, Paul.
Well, I just want to say one thing. For those people who don't know, Kurt Russell is an American hero. All right. Thank you.
An American hero? Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes.
I think I can agree with that one. Okay, I'll let you ride on it. I'll let you ride on it, P. All right, Paul. So you were able to see some parts of the football game this past Thursday. And your thoughts on what you saw, and what do you think about Manning's performance?
Well, obviously it was historic. The last time someone threw 7 touchdowns in a game was in 1969, so I can honestly say I don't remember that.
Yeah, we weren't born.
But to me, it was just more of, I don't think the Ravens' defense is that bad. It's just, how many new starters do they have on defense? 6? And they're just not cohesive yet. They haven't learned to communicate together yet. And if you saw, it was just, his receivers were wide open on like half of his touchdown passes. So there was just miscommunication. They weren't doing the proper coverage. And that when you're doing that and you have Peyton Manning, yeah, he's going to torch you. So I think their defense is going to improve as the season goes on. You never want Peyton Manning to be your first opponent, and you never want to face Peyton Manning when last year's 2 leaders are gone. You know, it's a different guy calling plays, and then the first team you have to play is Peyton Manning. So I think Baltimore was just in a really bad spot with that game. But Peyton Manning, you know, to his credit, threw the 7 touchdowns. So, I mean, he had a great game, but a lot of it was just Baltimore not playing a lot together.
Okay. So just a lot of breakdowns and stuff like that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just like that Wes Welker one when no one was the one after the defense intercepted it and they celebrated too early. And then you leave Wes Welker wide open. Like, he shouldn't be one of those guys you're always watching. And for him to get wide open like that after already giving up all those touchdowns, just total breakdown in communication on that level.
Okay. I mean, I can agree with that. I can agree with that. However, I honestly think, and I said this before, the Ravens are not that good. Although I did pick them to make the playoffs, I might have to amend that. But I don't think I just don't think they're going to be that good. They lost a lot of players, impactful players, character players that helped them get to where they were last year. Not to mention in the game, one of their own rookie players hurts Jacoby Jones on a punt return, which ended up being a turnover because he takes out Jacoby Jones, the ball nicks him, and then the Broncos recover, and they subsequently score on that drive. But it's like it's a knee injury that could be an MCL, ACL, or something like that, and
yeah.
It's because the kid wasn't paying attention, and Jacoby was trying to return the ball. And if you look at it, he's grabbing his knee. You know, as soon as the kid rolls off of him, he's grabbing his knee. He's in pain. He's limping off. And I believe he's getting an MRI, or he got an MRI on Friday, or he's getting it on Monday, and then you'll know a little more about it. But at the same time, that kid is invaluable. Because if you notice, Joe Flacco didn't have anybody to throw to other than Torrey Smith after that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, they got some garbage time. You know, they got some points in garbage time when the Broncos were playing, a bend but don't break defense. But
Literally
the game was over after the third quarter. Any thoughts?
No, I agree. And that, to me, just goes back to, you know, communication as well. He should have known that what Jones was trying to do. So, I mean, I agree. And I think also, you know, a little bit it goes back to coaching. And you're, you know, Harbaugh's a great coach, but, man, you kind of wonder after coming out like that. I mean, I know he'll get him ready to go, but it's just – and then his comments, after the game about the replay. Oh, well, we didn't see it. Like, the whole country saw it, you know. How did your guy in the booth not see it? What's up? You know, it kind of just makes you think, like, what happened here, you know?
Yeah, absolutely right, because Peter King was on NBC Sports Network, and he said the same thing pretty much. He said, I saw it, and I saw it at home. I didn't have the benefit of the replay. I had the NBC replay. But if I can see that on the Wes Welker catch and some other things that took place, you know, why couldn't your guy see it? You don't have somebody in the booth that you trust to answer that question for you. Was it a fumble? Was it a catch? You know, stuff like that. So I can't say Harbaugh took the high road on that because he looked like he was blaming NBC and replay folks for not getting it up there in time. And you have all types of angles up in that booth. So I can't get with that. I think I'm going to bring up this topic, and I want to get your thoughts on it first. Also, I learned that Peter King, he put this out on NBC Sports Network, that the Baltimore Ravens were given the option, because I didn't know, and this is, I guess it's new, but the NFL allows the Super Bowl champion to pick their week one opponent. And I don't know if that's something they just did this year or is it something that they've done in the past, but or was it the circumstances that allowed, you know, the Ravens to do this? But they had a choice between Chicago, Denver, and it was somebody else on their schedule. I think it's Cincinnati, if I'm not mistaken. But the option was to play them week one and, you know, open up. I've never heard of that happening. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because the Ravens couldn't play it because traditionally, I guess over the past 12, 13 years, something like that, the Super Bowl champion has always opened up at home. And because of the Orioles having their game and stuff like that, MLB and the NFL can come to an agreement, and they end up playing on the road. So this is a two-part question that I'm posing to you before I bring in my cousin here. Do you think it was wise? And this was the answer that Peter King got. He said that Harbaugh said they would rather take Peyton Manning now at the top of the season before he gets in his stride and then take him on at the end of the season. That's why they chose to play the Broncos first. But do you think it was wise to, one, pick the Broncos over Chicago or Cincinnati, who could be or may be a lesser of an opponent to open up the season? And what is your thoughts on MLB and the NFL not coming to an agreement to let the Ravens open up the season at home?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. If I was Harbaugh, I would not have wanted to play the Broncos at the beginning of the season. For the points I was talking about earlier, all those new starters on defense, I would want to give them time to become a more cohesive unit, you know, get to learn each other and build upon that relationship and trust that they're going to, you know, have to form, you know, to live up to the expectations that Baltimore has for a defense. So in Peyton Manning getting in stride, you expect Peyton Manning to be in stride from week one to week 17. There is no, like, midseason form for Peyton Manning. You know, he's good to go from the beginning. I mean, from those teams, to be honest with you, if I was him, I would have been like, give me the Bears so we can have our first opponent against Jay Cutler. See if we can have him make any mistakes. You know?
Yeah.
Let's see. The Bears had four new offensive linemen from last year. Only one is coming back, and that just shows you how bad their old line was last year. Two rookies starting on it. So you'd be going against two rookie offensive linemen. You know, Jay Cutler, who's prone to either, you know, boom or bust, then it would probably have been a lot better of a team to get your new defense out against.
I agree.
I mean, that would have been the team I would have chose to play in. And, I mean, I'm even a Chicago fan, and I can say of all those teams, the Bears would have been their best option to play. Yeah.
Well, and that's my thought process on that, too. I agree with you on that, but I want you to also talk about do you think there's any type of issue as to whether the NFL and MLB couldn't come to an agreement to make the game happen?
Yeah, what it is, you know, what people forget is that, you know, MLB and NFL are competing. They're not, you know, best friends. They have a decent relationship, but, you know, they're competitors. You know, so, I mean, you know, think of it as, you know, Microsoft asking Apple, hey, can you push your, reveal of your new computer to this time frame so that it would work for our reveal of the computer for this time frame? I mean, you know, and the Orioles, they knew that they were going to be in a pennant race. You know, and they knew they didn't want to get their schedule out of whack. They didn't want to have to change it to a day game and then, you know, have the next night and then fly out. They didn't want to fly out on the night game the next day. I mean, they had every right to not want to mess up their schedule. So, I understand why the NFL didn't want to play it on Wednesday due to the holiday. But, I mean, there's no rule saying they couldn't have done it on Friday, or they could have just went really old school and had all the games on Sunday. Who would have thought that? But, yeah. I mean, if they want to open up on a Thursday, they want to have their prime time slot, but, I mean, Major League Baseball does not have to accommodate the NFL, no matter how many people, you know, and I know NFL is a lot more popular than Major League Baseball, but it's still a competitor, and, you know, they released that schedule, you know, a year in advance, so the NFL knew that they knew about it, so they could have worked around it, but they decided just to try and ask the Orioles and then make it look like, oh, they're not helping us out. Well, they don't have to. So, you know, again, you know, so they said, all right, Baltimore will open up on the road.
Okay. Well, you're the baseball guy, and I'm going to bring in my cousin right now real quick and get his thoughts. He's been on hold for a minute, and let's see what you got to say about that synopsis. Mike.
What's up? All
right. You heard what Paul had to say about – nothing to do with what Paul had to say about that whole MLB,
yeah.
NFL. Okay, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, and it's one thing that I would just ask Paul to and bring out. Paul, do you know what type of businessman Angelos is?
He's a businessman who likes to make money.
Right, exactly, and he is a notorious asswipe too. You forgot that.
He's not going to use that terminology, and I'm asking that too,
right,
as well.
Right. But anyway, my thinking was, and still is that, you know, it could have been worked out. You know, it really could have been worked out. And I think it was more so, you know, Angelos and the Orioles just not wanting to work it out. And I like the whole competitive thing that you were talking about. I agree with you there. It's just when, you know, there's been times that where the NFL has accommodated the MLB, and they have gone back and forth. They have done it before. It's been done numerous times. It was just strikingly odd to me when it came to Baltimore. It just didn't happen. You know, I just thought that was really strange. And it didn't surprise me because of Angelos' track record and how he operates. That's what I was getting at when you know, my cousin was throwing out that I was having conspiracy theories or whatever the hell that was.
Well, I just wanted to get the point across that it isn't just Angelos. But I mean, the thing is this, and.
It isn't just Angelos.
Right,
okay.
Well, I think Paul said it right. You know, it's a competition. MLB and NFL, they're not friends. I don't think
they're not friends. But they have. But what I'm saying, what I said to you is, they have worked out things like this in the past. They have
They
have done it, but all of a sudden, now it's, you got Angelos in the middle of it, and now it's a scheduling conflict. I mean, now I get that the NFL could have did it Wednesday. They could have moved it to Monday, all that kind of carrying on. But like I said on the other show, they could have worked this out. It could have been worked out.
Okay. Jerry, my co-host, the ATM is going to pay me some money this weekend. or Tuesday. What are your thoughts on the topic? I know you just jumped on, but we're talking about the whole situation as to why the Broncos ended up hosting the game versus the Ravens. And I brought up something that Peter King has stated on NBC Sports Network that, and I don't know if this is new, but the Ravens were given an option as to who they wanted to open up the season against. And he had mentioned that the Super Bowl champion gets to do something like this, and I'm like, I've never heard of that. And the choices were the Chicago Bears, the Cincinnati Bengals, or the Broncos. And the Ravens chose the Broncos. Now, I don't know if that was because of, you know, they were able to choose their opponent because of the situation with the MLB schedule going on, or was it just because that's something that the NFL does for the Super Bowl champion? And the Ravens had said they chose the Broncos because they wanted to get Manning out of the way before he got in the groove. And obviously, like Paul said, it didn't change because Manning's there week 1 through 17. So what are your thoughts on the choice selection of choosing the Broncos over the Bears or the Bengals, who are probably weaker, and the thought process of, you know, not having it at home?
Well, I got to think that would they have played the Broncos sometime later in the season? Is that was that a choice?
Yes.
So it really didn't make a difference one way or the other. I guess they, I don't know. I guess they felt a little cocky. I have no idea why you would want to go to play Peyton Manning first right off the bat when in fact you had a huge turnover in your team on both sides of the ball, really, especially on defense. And I would think I would take the lesser of two evils, even though the Bengals are supposed to be pretty good, but Andy Dalton's not Peyton Manning. And I would rather go against rather had gone against the Cincinnati Bengals. It didn't make a difference, I guess, whether it was in Ohio or in Colorado or in Illinois. I guess they still were going on the road. All I can think of on the other thing that you were talking about with McCown before I jumped on is that obviously MLB has more weight than the NFL. America's pastime, America's favorite game, supposed to be the NFL, but obviously Bud Selig those guys must have more pull than the NFL. I wouldn't think so, but just like Mikal said, you know, they're Super Bowl champions. The Super Bowl champions, and they got to play their first game on the road. Even if it didn't make a difference who they picked as their opponent, they have to play their first game on the road. I can't believe that, just like he said, they couldn't have worked it out that the Baltimore Ravens, Super Bowl champions, play their first game on the road. I mean, at home. Every other Super Bowl champion that I can think of, when they opened up, they opened up at home.
Well, you know, and Paul, we got Paul on the line. He's going to stump the chump. He's going to stump you today. He's going to stump you. He has a good trivia question, and I'm going to pose it again. But he had made the point clearer than I could have, or that I did on Thursday, that, you know, they're competitors. So why, you know, make things easier for my competitor? And Michael said, you know, yeah, they've done it in the past. So I don't know why this time they couldn't do it, but I understand. You know, that's the Orioles in a pennant race, and, you know, to take that home game away from them could hurt. But, again, it is what it is. They didn't do it. The schedule was out a year or so in advance. And the NFL, yes, they could have pushed the game up to Wednesday. They could have pushed it back to Friday and stuff like that. And they would have had the whole
Angelo's,
game.
Or Angelo's could have made a deal. Angelo could have made the deal, and that's my point.
I didn't say he couldn't, but if the Ravens still could have had a home game, they still could have had the home game and been the feature game if they just did it on a Wednesday or a Friday. If you recall, a couple of years ago, or last year, during the president's
how the game started on a Wednesday night because of the election. And I agree with you. I'm dead with you. NFL could have did more. They could have did more, exactly. But to get chumped like that in Baltimore, you know what I'm saying, it's not a good look. Regardless if it's a scheduling thing or if you want to say MLB don't have to, right, they don't have to. But guess what? Who got chumped? That's what I see.
They got chumped on the football field too. They got chumped on the football field too, so it don't matter. They got chumped on the football field too. So
Yeah, but before all that, you know what I'm saying? Right, yeah,
I got it. But we're going to change something real quick. But before I go to break, I'm going to take a quick break. Paul, we're going to give Jerry that trivia question. Because, as I said, when we did trivia for stuff, Jerry would always win. I don't think he's going to win this one.
Okay.
All right, so,
whatever.
Give him the trivia question, Paul. What do you want me to give it to him?
You gave it out last time. I want you to word it correctly.
All right, here we go. Kurt Russell used to be a pro player. Name the sport, the team, and give me a stat line.
Give me a stat line? You got to be kidding me. Kurt Russell,
the actor.
I know you're talking about. I know exactly who you're talking about. Kurt Russell.
Right, you have 1 minute. You have 1 minute to go ahead and get that out for me, all right?
Well, he didn't play basketball.
We'll be right back in 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go.
For a roundup of the week's events, interviews, and a whole lot more, tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern for the FSP Cruise Show, featured at blogtalkradio.com/VICHBK. Here's a sample.
We have Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Hello, Stephen A. I'm Brandon. This is Jerry, your host, along with my co-host Black and Jeff on here. Glad to join us.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on, baby?
Good. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem.
You can also visit fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com for archives, advertising, and other information. The FSP Crew Show. Information, motivation, variety.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports and Politics Saturday edition. With me, it's me, it's your boy FSP. Along with my co-host, JT ATM Money, we've got on the line Stump the Hump Paul and my cousin Macau. So, Jerry, what in the world is going on?
Jerry? I have no idea. Well, let me put it this way. I know he didn't play basketball, and I know he didn't play hockey, and he damn sure didn't play football. So he's a baseball player. But his stat line? I have no idea what his stat line is. I'll tell you that right now.
You got baseball. Now, what team? What team did Kurt Russell play for? You know what I'm going to do for you? I think you got a track on here. It's like a one-minute track that I'm going to play.
No, you don't have to play. I'll tell you right now. I have no idea. I don't even think he went into the pros. I think he just played his time in the minor leagues, and that's one of the reasons why he went to acting.
All right, Paul, give it to him.
All right, so Kurt Russell played for the California Angels minor league affiliate, and he was hitting .563 as a switch hitter, and then he tore his shoulder, and that forced him to go back into acting.
Mm-hmm.
So hitting .563, he was leading the minors in batting at the time he got hurt in 1973.
Okay. Okay,
I
he stumped me.
I found some nigga stumped the hump. Yes, Paul, you have now earned yourself a segment on this show. Anything to stick it to Jerry. Anything.
Oh, boy. Yeah, you love it. I mean, put it this way. I knew he played baseball. I knew he didn't make it to the majors, but I had no idea who he played for.
Man, where were you when I needed to give this when I could have saved my radio photograph, daggone picture, and all the other crap I had to send this dude? All right. Anyway, all right, Paul, we're about to talk a little boxing.
Wait a minute. Before you go any further, Paul.
Okay.
What position did he play? Did he play the infield, the outfield?
He was a second baseman.
He was a second baseman. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. I didn't know. I know he played baseball, and I know he played didn't get to the majors. I know he played in the minors, but I had no idea what position and what his stat line was. So.
Well, I'm telling you, Paul is the encyclopedia. You two would be great for a show, but that's not going to happen. But you two would be good for, like, the trivia show or something like that. I'm bouncing around in my head. We'll see what happens. But, Paul, we're about to do some boxing real quick for, I guess, like the next 10 minutes. And then we're going to jump into the picks. You're welcome to stay on the line, or you can call back in. It's up to you however you want to do it, okay?
Okay.
Because I know you didn't want to talk boxing. So what do you want to do? You want to just listen to the show?
Just put me on hold, and I'll stay on the line. I'll back in once we get to football.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen. It's about that time. Next Saturday.
What is all that noise, man?
It's Michael. I think he's doing something with his car. So I had to put it on mute. I'll bring him back in a second.
Okay.
But it's about that time, ladies and gentlemen. Next Saturday, September 14th. The mega fight, some people are saying, of the century. Of course, the century is very young. So
not
it,
even
it
close.
Is. Yeah, I know. But, I think it's going to be a very, very, very good fight. Canelo Alvarez takes on Floyd Mayweather for Floyd's title.
No contest.
I don't know. At the top of the show, I discussed how I've never heard this happening before, and it might just be because I'm kind of, I'm not too young, but I'm young. I've never heard of movie theaters actually hosting the fight party.
Sure.
Or showing the fight on
Absolutely.
The big screen.
Sure.
First time I've heard of it.
Really?
But, yeah. I mean, let me tell you something.
When Ali and Frazier and we're fighting, there was movie theaters hosting that fight. There's a lot of times during the Ali time and in that time frame where boxing was a big event, boxing was shown in movie theaters, and people paid to go watch it at a movie theater versus trying to pay-per-view. But that was in lieu of pay-per-view for the most part.
Okay. Well, I mean, I know closed circuit TV and stuff like that came out in the 80s. I just thought it was interesting that I saw this was going to be happening at the movie theaters here, where I am. And
mm-hmm.
I plan to go see it. You know, I don't know how much mm-hmm. the ticket's going to be, but it can't be but so much, because you're not really supposed to charge anybody for viewing a item unless you have express written consent from the WBO, WBA, or whoever is sanctioning the fight.
It may be a possibility.
I think it might be. So next Saturday, I plan to be there. I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I plan to be there and talking about this fight. Now, the question is, JT, and then I'm going to bring my cousin back in, break down this fight and why you think it's no contest. And I'm thinking your pick's Mayweather, but I'll let you talk about it. Go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Canelo, Hispanic fighter, are historically plotting fighters, fighters that constantly move ahead, are easy to hit because they don't have too much motion, because I don't know if it's a machismo or what, but they're easy targets. They're right in front of you, and they just keep coming. And for that reason, Floyd Weather and his elusiveness and his ring savvy will hit this guy and get away if he tries to hit him. He's done it before. Every Hispanic fighter that fought Mayweather has basically done the same thing right in front of him, and they're easy to hit, and they just keep coming. And this is not going to be anything different. This guy is not even in the same sphere. Not even in the same atmosphere as Floyd Mayweather. And he'll be exposed. Because you ever seen the movie The Great White Hope?
Yes.
Or I should say, I forget the name of the movie, with Samuel Jackson, okay?
Great White Hype.
Well, check this out. This is just another version of the Great White Hype, because this guy, I understand he's done some decent things. He fought Mayweather. I'm trying to think of this guy's name, who he fought. He's a 40-year-old guy. He's an older fighter. I forget who he fought. And he couldn't put him down, and Floyd tore him up. This guy's not in the same atmosphere, but he's hyped up that everybody thinks he's got a shot to beat Mayweather, and it's not going to happen.
Okay. All right, let me bring my cousin in real quick. And I believe he probably believes with you, but I don't know if you have a different viewpoint on Canelo. But I'm going to bring him in and see what he says. Mike, what do you have to say about this fight and what Jerry just said?
The fighter that Jerry was trying to talk about was Mosley, Shane Mosley. Let me get 10 of them.
Thank you.
For the Buffalo. It's Shane Mosley.
Right.
I agree with Jerry. However, I'm going to go ahead and predict a knockout. He's going to knock this boy out. He's going to knock this boy out.
Really?
Yeah, he's going to knock him out in the ninth round. You're going to see probably the second or third round. He's going to connect. Canelo's going to connect on to Mayweather, and it'll look like he's flummoxing Mayweather. But what's going to happen is Mayweather always adapts and learns his fighters as he's fighting them during the fight. Around the second or third round, they always connect, and after that, he's going to start. He's going to take and have him, you know, very, very frustrated, as he normally does, and he's going to knock this boy out. This Jerry is absolutely correct. This boy is not in the same stratosphere with Mayweather. He hasn't seen this type of fighter. You know, this boy is a good fighter and all. I respect him and all like that, but he's not a he hasn't been in the ring with no good tactician like Mayweather. Mayweather is just a tactician, and he's just going to work him over. He's going to really work him over. Really, if he doesn't knock him out, it's going to be just a big sparring match. I mean, this is like one of the best hustles in the world to have for Mayweather.
Yep.
It's like stealing candy from a baby.
Yep.
And everybody keep buying into it, and I don't understand why y'all keep buying into it.
Yep.
But I mean, I understand, but I don't understand. I understand y'all just don't like him.
Yep.
I get that.
Well,
but the dude
is
just the best.
I mean, everybody has their opinion. There's been a lot of upsets happening lately in the world of sports. In MMA, the best pound fighter gets knocked out. And then the following, last weekend, the 6-pound-for-pound dude taps out and loses his title. And the dude's a beast. I understand, you know, the style of fighter Canelo Alvarez is. And like Blackwood said, I wish Black was on the line because he's our resident boxing guy. But
Canelo, he cuts weight and some of that. I don't think he has to cut for this one too much. And he tires himself out around the 7th or 8th round. And I can see what you're saying, Mikey, that he might knock him out at that point. However, I don't think it's going to happen. I think if Canelo can hit Floyd to feel his power a little bit, Floyd's going to try to get Canelo to feel his power. And then it becomes a slight.
No. Well, Victor, I got a question for you.
I think it might, might be that way.
You said you don't think it's going to happen. I don't think that's what you think. I think you hope it doesn't happen. You hope it doesn't happen. Because I know you don't like Floyd Mayweather and his style.
And then going into your theory, just to challenge your theory. I don't think that Canelo could get Mayweather to expend himself. I mean, Canelo was expended after fighting Mosley.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He was done there.
40-year-old Mosley.
Right, and he was done after he was fighting Trout. And Trout has only a tenth of the skill that Mayweather had. Dude, this is going
This is going to be
a spanking of epic proportions.
Okay. Well, here's his situation as I see it. I see it as a young tiger or a young gun who really wants to prove that. I gotta do this. I'm sorry. It sounds like a daggone ghost or something. I don't know where yet, Mike, but it sounds like a ghost and it's. It's bothering me a little bit. I'll bring you back on in a minute. But I'm of the mindset that, yes, I think he will get outboxed. I think that he has no choice but to try to turn into a slugfest. I'm talking about Canelo Alvarez, that is. But Floyd, he likes to duck and dive and move. He's very good with his feet. But Canelo is probably just as strong as Floyd. Now, will he be able to sustain that power and the steam in his punches throughout the fight like Floyd can? That's the question. If Floyd does exchange with him, which he doesn't do, I think he only did it maybe, once or twice. He did it with Ricky Hatton and knocked Ricky Hatton out. And then he did it... There was one other fighter, because everybody kept saying that he's not a boxing on. He just went there and he just waylaid on a guy, and he actually finished him and knocked him out. That was like the first time that anybody's ever seen him, Floyd Mayweather, that is, just go berserk on somebody and actually try to knock him out and not look for the decision or anything like that. But with that being said, Floyd has a skill set that Canelo does not. Now, I'm not saying Canelo can't develop it or he won't develop it or that he can't find a way to pull this fight out. I think, yes, Floyd might win. I think he might win, but I think it'll be tougher than what you and Mike have to, you know, say about it because he's not a pushover. He's not this marketing-made boxer. He's an actually very good fighter. And the way you guys are describing him, I mean, honestly, the way you guys are describing him, it's as if he's this marketed boxing kid from Mexico that is the last hope to stop, you know, Floyd Mayweather. And that might
basically he is, Victor. There's really nobody out there. Floyd Mayweather has taken on all comers, and the flavor of the month. He's taken every flavor of the month that's been out there. And this is just another one. Then it's going to knock him down and saying, okay, who's the next flavor of the month? I'll knock him down. Who's the next flavor of the month? Until his time is that he's going to retire. He's got, five more fights after this? He's going to take every flavor of the month. Anybody who's hyped up that's going to give him a big payday, he'll take and say thank you very much and keep it going.
Well, I think what's going to happen is because Marquez faces Bradley, I think it is, because they both were offered to fight Pacquiao, but they wanted to fight each other. So I don't think he's going to fight Marquez again, but I would love to see him beat up Bradley, because I don't like Bradley. And I don't like Floyd, but I love to see Floyd beat up Bradley. But I think the final fight, honestly, I think the final fight will be him and Pacquiao. I really think that, regardless, because that's the fight everybody wanted to see. And it would give Pacquiao some time to get himself back together and whatnot. Whether he'll be that good of a fighter to fight Mayweather, I don't know. Will Mayweather have the title? I don't know. But anything can happen in the world of sports. Anything. And I really think that Floyd is going to be in for a fight next Saturday.
Well, this is three things that you can guarantee. Death, taxes, and Floyd Mayweather winning next week.
Oh, my goodness. No, you can't guarantee that because I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't think it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But here we go, ladies.
You hope it doesn't happen. Let me put it that way. You hope it doesn't happen because you just don't like Floyd Mayweather. But that's okay.
I understand that. I didn't say I just don't like him.
Yes, you did.
Don't like
you just did it. You just said it. You don't like Floyd Mayweather.
I hope he doesn't. I said I really don't like him. I said I don't like him. I really don't like him,
you
know. My cousin got something I want to say real quick, and then we're going to go to break. When we come back from the break, we're going to do our week one picks, and Jerry and I are going to give out some fantasy selections. But let's get my cousin on real quick, see what he has to say about he's going to be the last word on this fight. Go ahead, Mike.
Mayweather and Bradley, they will never fight. Neither will Mayweather and Pacquiao. These fights will not happen because of Bob Arum. Those fights aren't going to happen. They're just not going to happen. Because Timothy Bradley is Bob Arum's new boy. Pacquiao is Bob Arum's old boy, and he knows that, Mayweather wants to fight him, and he wants to dictate, you know, the parameters of the deal and whatnot. And, you know, Pacquiao has only made $14 million on his last two fights. Mayweather offered him $40 million to fight. So, you know, there you have it. So that's not going to happen. But, your whole mindset, Victor, about, you know, this is why Mayweather is making so much money on this fight. I mean, there are, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of Latino Americans that feel the same way as you, you know, but it's not going to happen. I'm not discrediting this young man. Canelo is a good fighter, but he is not ready for Floyd. I would have thought probably would have been a better move for Canelo to wait for probably Mayweather's second to last fight in order for him to get some more seasoning or whatever. Then it probably would have probably been more of the fight that you're thinking of. But right now, Mayweather is going to work this boy over. Like I said, he's going to connect on Mayweather round two, round three, you know what I'm saying? And then by about round four, round five, you're going to see a switch up in the game. You're going to see a lot more frustration on the part of Canelo. He's going to gas out probably about 7-8 round or whatever, and by about the eighth or ninth round, he drop him. Mayweather, boom.
Okay. Well, that's the last word on the fight. When we come back, we're going to do week one pick. Fantasy selection. Stay with me, Sway FSP. Be back in a minute.
If you're looking to whet your appetite for engaging and informative talk radio, the lineup at the Fantasy Sports and Politics Network has exactly what you need. Shows like The Master Plan with Jerry the Master Taylor, Time Out with women's basketball legend Sylvia Crawley, Compassion Dakini, hosted by Kim Fung, No Chaser with Mac Williams and Jerry Taylor, the FSP Crew Show with co-hosts Jerry Black and the Joker, and the Fantasy Sports and Politics Show, all focused on the hot topics in sports, politics, and in life. By visiting fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com, you'll gain great insight into each program and host, access to the show's archive, as well as outstanding articles, photos, and a whole lot more. As well, because of its large and steadily growing following, fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com is a great place to advertise. Stop by today at fantasysportsandpolitics.webs.com. Information, motivation, variety.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know what time it is. I don't need to say anything else.
Go! 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 Carrying the ball 20 times a game requires power and valor, not niftiness. The water bug and whippet backs rarely survive the wail and howl of the banshee. Stacked defenses in the pros. They must meld the buck of a billy goat with the sudden surge of a sprint. He does not move with polish or slickness. His method is not Grand Prix, but demolition derby.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
Demolition
done. The demolition derby begins right now. Okay, week one of the NFL season has already begun. The Broncos defeated, they really mollywopped Baltimore Ravens.
I told you.
Hey, well, let's talk about what I told you. Since you're going to say I told you. On Thursday's show, I predicted Mr. Thomas was going to have a huge game. I also predicted it would be a shootout. I was right all across the board except for one thing. Dallas Clark did not have that big breakout game. He did get a couple catches, and he did get a lot of yards. I think it was like 60, 70 yards total. Ronnie Hillman, I don't know what happened with Ronnie Hillman, but he's not the guy that he was hyped up to be. He only ran the ball twice and caught two passes. Those are the two things I was wrong on, but I predicted that entire game to a T. So,
no, you didn't.
Right.
No, it wasn't a shootout. It really wasn't a shootout. It was garbage points for Baltimore Ravens. I understand they got 27 points, but
29.
For the most part, Denver relaxed for a minute and then say, you know what, they still got some life, and they had it quickly. Peyton Manning had to quickly put him in back in this place. But for the most part, Baltimore was never in that game, and it was never in question. And I did put a little tidbit out there of a guy that I said look out for, and he's going to showcase his talents a little bit more. I'm talking about Marlon Brown. He had four catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. Jacoby Jones is out 4 to 6 weeks with an MCL sprain, and Marlon Brown is going to be more involved in the offense. That's just another option for Joe Flacco, because Torrey Smith is a one-trick pony.
I agree. And ladies and gentlemen, if you listen to Thursday's show, you would have heard that and more, but I was right more than Jerry. So, we're going to move on.
Who cares, Victor?
I do.
We're both right, okay? We're both
whatever.
Right, on, okay?
I'm more right. Okay, here's the deal.
McCow, how do you put up with your cousin for this time?
Can I work with the show? Don't make me. I don't want to mute people. I just want to go with the show. Thank you very much.
Go,
all right,
go
here
ahead,
we go. After you give these schedules, and we're going to give one or two at the most fantasy picks, okay? In each of these games, okay? You get one from each team.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry and I are going to discuss our wagers. Yeah.
One, just one.
Chicken. I know. That's what we're going to talk about, how he's such a big chicken, and he's still going to lose that bet. We'll get to that at the end of the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen. That is right.
Is it your time of the month? Is it your time of the month, Victor? What is up with you today?
Hey, old guy. For real old guy?
Oh, man.
Here we go.
Lord.
Hey, the music's playing. Be quiet. Here we go. New England New England at Buffalo. We're going to start with Michael. I'm going to go to Paul. Jerry, then I'm going to finish up. Give me your prediction and one fantasy player per team. Let's go, Mike.
Look for Peyton Manning to put on, Tom Brady to put on a show because he watched that show that Peyton Manning put on. They should beat them by at least 20 points. Should smoke them. Don't pick. I would pick not one player from Buffalo. Maybe C.J. Spiller if he ain't hurt. But I would take definitely you gotta go with Tom Brady in that.
All right, Paul.
Well, yeah, I'd have to agree. Patriots at Bills. Bills starting a rookie quarterback going against, you know, a veteran Patriots team. Tom Brady looking to have a big game. I'd still say Stephen Ridley looks like a good fantasy option for that game. Brady does like to hand the ball off a bit more than Peyton. And since the Bills aren't known for their run defense, Stephen Ridley should have a pretty solid game.
All right. Let's go, Jerry.
I agree. Patriots are going to manhandle the Buffalo Bills. And Tom Brady wants to showcase his veteran and a rookie. I'm talking Danny Amendola and Cambrell Tompkins. Both those guys are going to have some nice games along with run games. They're going to completely dominate Buffalo.
I could not disagree with all of you anymore. Even though the stat line or the bet line is 10.5 points for the Patriots, I believe that E.J. Manuel will shred the Patriots defense. I also believe that he and C.J. Spiller will be the reason why the Buffalo Bills pull the upset and win week one versus the Patriots. If everybody listened to our summer-long predictions, I predicted the Patriots to be either last or second to last in the AFC East. People laughed at me last year when I said that the Saints weren't going to be as good as they normally are. I was right then. I'll be right now. I'm telling you, the best players on that field tomorrow in Buffalo will be E.J. Manuel and C.J. Spiller. Tom Brady, yes, he may or may not have the type of game that Manning had, but it won't be enough. It won't be enough. Pick the Bills. Go with the rookie quarterback that seemingly turns this team on. Jerry made big points about how Vince Young and Chris Johnson looked really good together. Well, E.J. Manuel and C.J. Spiller are better than that combination. All right.
Somebody call 911 because Victor definitely needs help.
E.J. Manuel couldn't pick apart the Florida Gators defense, and that was in college, so I don't know how you expect him to pick apart a pro team, but, you know.
Yes.
At least you're taking a risk.
The Florida Gators are a better team. They have a better defense than the Patriots.
Before you go any further, this is a valid statistic.
I know.
The Patriots are the second best opportunistic defense in the NFL. So when you say that, they're going to get a rookie quarterback that hasn't practiced or hasn't played in 2 weeks against the Patriots defense. Are you kidding me? Come on.
I tell you what, RG3, Luck, and Russell Wilson, I think they did something very similar. I think Russell Wilson, as a rookie, shredded their defense because that's when they started to let him throw the ball. So I really think they can.
Okay.
They also played the whole preseason.
Hey, dude, it doesn't matter. EJ, I'm telling you, I believe in EJ. RG3,
okay.
EJ,
okay.
Russell, and Luck.
Are you going to start them in any of your fantasy teams?
This week?
Yeah.
No, because I have Aaron Rodgers and I have Matty Ice. I don't need to start them. But
no, you don't have them every
team. I think EJ Manuel is going to shred the Patriots. Do you want to start him over Aaron Rodgers going against the 49ers?
Tennessee at Pittsburgh. Let's go around the horn. We're going to start with Paul. Paul, Mike, Jerry, then me. Let's go.
Yeah, just, Pittsburgh's a tough place to win. And the Titans and the Steelers
both, I don't think, are going to be that great this year, but I'm just going to have to give the edge to Pittsburgh because it's the Steel City. And, you know, Roethlisberger just has more experience. As far as fantasy players, maybe Chris Johnson from the Titans, but I don't see a lot of people in that game that I would feel comfortable starting to get me big points.
My jury is still out on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know what team is going to show up. You know, they have all the makings to, you know, to make a decent go at it this year. And, you know, Mike Tomlin is giving a good tough talk and whatever, but I don't know. I just don't like Tennessee. I don't like their uniform. I don't like that team. I like Chris Johnson, though. You know, that's a nice dude. They've always had a good defense, but Jeff Fisher ain't there no more, so I'm going to go with the Steelers.
I feel the Steelers are going to win this game, but the Steelers, Pittsburgh's not the same team. If they were playing in Tennessee, I would probably take Tennessee, but Pittsburgh is playing at home. It's a home opener. The fans and the team's going to be jacked up. I think Chris Johnson, and like I said, I don't think that defense is the same thing, same as it was before, so I think Chris Johnson's going to have a decent day. But I'm really feeling a guy that I really like, that I've liked for a while, and pretty much the reason why Mike Wallace is not there any longer, Antonio Brown is going to have a very good day tomorrow in that Todd Haley offense.
Stole my thunder, old guy. Stole my thunder. We're all on Pittsburgh, and mine is a little different. I think Isaac Redman's going to run through that porous front seven of Tennessee.
He stinks.
I like Kenny Britt. You know what? Yeah, jokes. I like Kenny Britt in this game only because that secondary of Pittsburgh kind of bothers me a little bit this preseason. They didn't look too good. And Ben Roethlisberger is going to have to run the ball a lot. Keith Miller is not playing. I don't even know the backup tight end in Pittsburgh right now. But this is a game where Isaac Redman gets off and says, okay, well, Ben doesn't have to throw that much. But when Ben does throw, it's going to be off of play action. And, yes, Antonio Brown is going to have a good game, in my opinion. Emmanuel Sanders, he has a drop sometimes, so I wouldn't bother with him. But Antonio Brown is that guy on Pittsburgh side. I got Pittsburgh as well. Let's head on down. Now, this is a very big game. I'm predicting close to 80 or 100 points in this game. Atlanta goes to New Orleans. What's our little different here? We're going to go JT, Mike, Paul, and me.
Wow. New Orleans. I got to take New Orleans in this game. I know that's probably going to be a shock. Everybody, especially who follows the NFC, think that Atlanta is one of those Super Bowl potential teams. New Orleans, home opener. First game with Sean Payton at home, back from a year-long suspension. They're going to be running the ball more. They've got Breeze with his coach back. I love that this was great for fantasy. I mean, the skilled players on both sides of these balls are going to be showcased in here. I think the new toy in Atlanta should have a pretty good day against that one of the worst run defenses, even though Rob Ryan's there now. I still think Steven Jackson's going to have a good time running the ball and also passing the ball. But I like New Orleans to win a home opener.
Mike,
well, I had to agree with you, Jerry. I like the Saints with Peyton out there. You know, a different team. Even though you got which one is Rob Ryan? You got Rob Ryan there, so defense is gonna be an Achilles heel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But you got Sean Payton out there calling the plays, and you're going up against Atlanta. I think that's gonna be the edge that they need. With Breeze against Matty Ice, I think they're going to edge him out in the last minute and a half of the game. It will be a high-scoring game.
Paul.
Well, then I'm going to be the first one here to take the Falcons. And it's not because I don't think the Saints are a bad team. I just think the Falcons have a better team. I like Matt Ryan. I like Julio Jones. I like Roddy White. I like Steven Jackson. I'll even like the left tackle, Sam Baker. No, I just like the whole Falcons team. But as far as, you know, a good fantasy option possibly, besides all the known skilled players, the quarterbacks, if you're having a debate for who to use for your third wide receiver, I would think this would be a good game to possibly use Lance Morin. He should be getting a lot of looks, and it is going to turn into a shootout. So if he's on your team and you need a third wide receiver, this might be the time to use him.
Very good analysis there. Unfortunately, I disagree with your pick. I picked New Orleans because Matty Ice has very big-time trouble winning in New Orleans. As I said at the top of this game here, I think it might be anywhere from 80 to 100 points scored in this game. Yeah, two of the best tight ends in the game plan, going against a two young gun, and yes, I picked Drew Brees as a young gun, even though he's a grizzled vet. He's still rather young. You have a running game in Atlanta that's fairly new, and they're going to feature Mark Ingram. Mark Ingram and Pierre Thomas will get off in this game. Darren Sproles, for the PPR folks, he'll have his chances, but like Jerry said, New Orleans has gone more to let me run to set up that pass. Drew Brees has thrown for almost, 5,000 yards twice back-to-back. His arm is probably going to get a little tired at some point, where they got to use that big bruising back in Ingram and Pierre Thomas. Sproles will be more so in a special teams game and on third down. I mean, he will get his looks, but he won't be the first look when it comes to Jimmy Graham, Marquise Colston, and Lance Moore. So that's what I'm saying. I'm sticking to it. I'm picking the Saints and Jimmy Graham, big-time player, on one side, and on the other side, I'm picking Julio Jones. Julio or Roddy, but Julio main. All right, let's move on to Jerry's favorite team. Can you spell it with me? J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. When the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Darrell Revis, returns to that one little island. Now, here's something people probably don't know, or if they haven't kept up on it. This is a sign that Josh Freeman is leaving Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
His teammates decided not to give him the captain anymore. They removed the C from him. That's a bad, bad sign when the coach drafts or the organization drafts a young quarterback and your teammates decide to take away your captain. But regardless of that, Geno Smith is garbage, hot garbage, as Jerry would say. And I'm picking the Buccaneers in a rout. In a rout. I predict Geno Smith will throw three, and he'll have three turnovers. He will be calling for Mark Sanchez by week two, week three. Chris Ivey might do something, but I believe Bilal Powell is listed as the starter. It won't help. It won't help. Tampa Bay defense is going to just score all the points, and Vincent Jackson might have a good game. Williams might have a good game, but the muscle hamster, he goes for almost two bills. I say the muscle hamster again will go for almost two bills in this game. All right, that's my prediction. I'm sticking to it. Now we're going to go with Mike, Paul, and Jerry.
Oh, man. My stomach is hurting. I think I'm getting a headache because I got to sit here and agree with your monkey butt.
Really? Really?
The Buccaneers are going to they're going to manhandle these Jets. They're just going to just demolish them. Here's where I disagree with you at, Vic. Geno Smith will throw four interceptions, not three. He's going to throw four of them. And three of them going to be caught by Revis. Three of them going to get caught by Revis. Oh,
I agree. These dudes
are going to put a smackdown on them because Geno Smith is just disgusting. I mean, he is terrible.
You know what? RG3 has messed it up for everybody. RG3 and Russell Wilson have messed it up for everybody. Because now all these teams think they can get themselves an RG3 or a Colin Kaepernick and don't have no type of support around them. You know what I mean? These youngins that came out last year, they had hellified support networks behind them. Geno Smith, he don't got nothing behind him. Believe that. Believe that. The Jets are a hot mess. Geno Smith is worse than a hot mess. And I love to see it because it's all on Jay-Z's face. Bama. Peace and bless.
Okay. Paul?
I mean, I agree for the most part that I believe the Buccaneers are going to beat the Jets. I'm just not fully convinced it's going to be a total domination due to Josh Freeman being turnover happy himself.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe they have enough weapons if they're going to come out on top. I mean, as far as fantasy-wise go, I wouldn't start anybody on the Jets. I wouldn't even go anywhere near Geno Smith, ever. I would start the Buccaneers defense, though, because I do think Geno Smith is going to turn that ball over a lot. But, yeah. Buccaneers, I still pick them to win. I can't go as far as to say it's going to be total domination because I can see Josh Freeman himself having a meltdown game. And the Jets defense won't be as good as last year, but they're still a solid unit.
All right.
I too am going to take the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think it's going to be a close game. For the simple fact, both these teams are, their run philosophy is basically the same thing, to run the football. And to run the football. And one is the defensive, both of them are defensive minded coach, and defensive minded coaches all have the philosophy is run the defense, run the ball and play defense. So I think Doug Martin is going to be showcased in this. I do believe that when Josh Freeman throws the ball, Vincent Jackson and Mike Williams are going to benefit from it. On the other side of the ball, Geno Smith, I don't think he throws two interceptions for the simple fact he's not going to throw toward Revis. He's going to be looking the other way, and he's going to be doing quite a few checkdowns. First game out of the box, they're going to try to protect Geno Smith as much as possible by running the ball and with short intermediate passes. Morningway is a West Coast type of offense coach, which it means that they're going to throw the ball short and high percentage passes. So I don't think he's going to get three or four interceptions. I think he's going to get maybe one or two at the most. And I think it's going to be a close game. But I think Tampa Bay is going to come out on top.
All right. So you're pretty much on the same line as Paul, which is cool. We got about 7 minutes left alive there. So what I want to do real quick is let everybody know we're going to finish the rest of these games in overtime. So stick around for the archive session. I'll come back for the archive session as we go off the air. On tomorrow, JT, what do you got planned on the master plan?
Well, I'm going to be going over the games, but I'm going to go over in a different way. I'm going to be not picking winners. I'm just going to be going over the actual skill positions on both sides of each game. Plus the fact is I'm going to be giving out some, as I always do, give out some lesser-known players that people may be not thinking about that if they happen to have drafted lousy and these teams, these players are still sitting on the waiver wire, they may surprise you in week one. They may give you a Kevin Ogletree or a Julius Thomas type of stat.
Okay. Well, with that being said, on Monday, master plan tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I believe it's going to be an hour show, right, Jerry, or 2 hours?
Probably be an hour and a half because it's going to take a while for me to go through all these teams, and so probably an hour and a half.
All right, hour and a half starting at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio, BICHBK. Master plan. Then on Monday, the UNC head basketball coach, female that is, Sylvia Hatchell, will appear on Time Out with Sylvia Crawley. Coach Hatchell is going into the Hall of Fame, the Naismith Hall of Fame on Sunday, and she's going to stop by and talk to her former player and someone that possibly could be the new UNC basketball coach. I don't know. You got to listen to the show to find out what's going on with that. But Monday, 7 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio, Timeout with Sylvia Crowley, special guest, Coach Sylvia Hatchell, Hall of Fame coach Sylvia Hatchell. Then on Thursday, we have FSP Cruise Show, JT, ATM Money, The Joker, maybe The Booking. They're going to break down the week as it was in football and get you prepared for, I believe, there's a Thursday night game.
Jets versus Patriots. Thursday night NFL network opener. Jets versus Patriots. Hello?
Hello?
Victor?
Yeah. Sound like we lost Vic.
Oh, boy. Hold on a minute here. Now we got to, I got to regroup here because the fact is, I'm not on Blog Talk. He is. So I got to get on here. Wow. Hopefully he gets coming back here. Paul, where do you know Victor from? Let me put it that way.
We're both at Fort Meade right now going through a public affairs qualification course. So I'm out of the Army.
Okay.
Wow.
It's Victor. Victor, are you there?
All right, Paul. Do you want to know where all the you want to know where all the dead bodies is? You could just ask cousin right here.
I mean, I'm sure I'll find out eventually.
All right.
Oh,
wow.
My goodness.
Wow. Okay. This is Blog Talk Radio. I've been going through this since. Yes.
JT.
Yes.
If I drop again, I might not have an opportunity to get back on the air, so you might have to take over, okay?
Okay.
All right, I'm very upset by this because we were getting it on. All right.
Go ahead.
Let's move on to the next game. Kansas City at Jacksonville. Now, a lot of people might not think this is going to be a good game. I think it's going to be a pretty good – it's going to be an old-fashioned game. Like you mentioned about the Tennessee-Pittsburgh, it's going to be run some more. That's what this is going to be. I think Kansas City with Alex Smith, they're not going to be that much better, but they'll be decent. A person I would not play in this game is Dwayne Bowe, unless you have a better option, go with somebody else. Because Alex Smith is not that guy that's going to throw the ball deep. If you remember, Michael Crabtree was complaining, you know, and couldn't flourish under Alex Smith. He was getting 3 to 4 looks in a game. And as soon as Calvin came in, that went up to 9 looks a game. The player you want to get, if you're talking about somebody outside of Jamal Charles, is Anthony Fasano. Remember what he did with Vernon Davis? Fasano he's not quite Vernon Davis by any stretch of imagination, but he will get a lot of balls thrown his way, along with A.J. Jenkins, because A.J. will be that slot guy. So look for that. And on the Jacksonville side, a guy that you probably didn't think would be in the NFL, definitely not a quarterback, but Denard Robinson. That kid lines up at receiver. He's the a running back. He's the wildcat back. So outside of MJD, Denard Robinson is that guy I would say you might want to stash on your bench somewhere because he's going to be that gadget guy and get more touches than people actually think or thought he would get. But it's in Jacksonville. Kansas City is a better team. I know Jacksonville's good at home, but I'm picking Kansas City to win this game. JT, roll with it. JT, Mike, then Paul.
All right. One of my favorite players is playing in this game.
and Andy Reid is going to showcase this guy passing the ball, because Andy Reid's a passing type of head coach. So they're going to be passing the ball more, believe it or not, in Kansas City, and the exact opposite of Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a running team with a young quarterback, and a quarterback that they're really not too sure about, or quarterbacks, I should say. Blaine Gabbert's got a fractured thumb, I think, a fractured finger, whatever it is, and not sure if he's going to play. If he doesn't play, then Chad Henne, who's got a little bit more experience, and I think who the team feels more confident with, meaning players feel more confident with, when he's out there. I like Kansas City. I know Jacksonville plays well at home, one of the two teams that are absolutely play lights out when they're home and the exact opposite when they're on the road. But I like Kansas City to win this game and Jamaal Charles to have a pretty good afternoon.
Kansas City, here I come. City should go down to Jacksonville and should beat up on Jacksonville. I don't think it's going to be a rout, but it's going to be a convincing win to cement Andy Reid. I'm well on record saying how dysfunctional the Jacksonville is, so I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, I just want to say I disagree with a lot of what Victor said. I don't think it's going to be that close. Andy Reid, better coach. Alex Smith is better quarterback. They have better skill players. Chiefs are going to go in, win the game. It's going to be convincingly.
Whatever. All right, let's move on. Seattle with Carolina. Here's the deal. Cam Newton looked terrible versus them last year. Just terrible. And in the preseason, he's been missing some open targets. I know Browner may or may not play, but that still leaves the big mouth, Sherman, on the other big mouth, Steve Smith. And last time he covered him, he pretty much handled Steve Smith. I know it's at Carolina. I know it's their opener. And Seattle doesn't always play good on the road, Jerry. But I'm picking Seattle. And Beast Mode is going to meet Coopsley. And therefore, I think the biggest person to have a big game here, Golden Tate. Golden Tate will have a very good game here in that game. I'm picking Seattle. Paul, Mike, Jerry.
Oh, Victor, I have to agree with you. I think Seattle's going to go in, take care of business. And my guy to watch is, you know, the University of Wisconsin product, Russell Wilson. I think he's going to have a big game, and he's going to reaffirm that everything he did last year was not a fluke.
I like this game is going to be like a mini Ali Frazier type fight game. You got Russell and you got my man Cam, and Cam is trying to retake his position over these young guys. So it's gonna be an interesting game to watch. Seattle doesn't travel well, but they have a better team than they've had in the past. I'm gonna give a slight edge to Seattle. I think they win it by 3 points.
All right. If anybody watched Carolina in the preseason, Carolina struggled scoring in the preseason. And what do? They come up against one of the better defenses in the NFL as their home opener. I don't think they get 10 points in this game, to tell you the truth. I think Seattle's going to win this convincingly. I think Seattle's going to win this convincingly. The offense in Carolina is going to struggle against this defense, especially if he's trying to get the ball to Steve Smith. There's one guy, but if I was to play somebody in this game, I have to agree with Victor. I think Golden Tate's going to have a pretty good. Sidney Rice is still trying to recover from his knee.
in knee issues, and I think Golden Tate is going to be possibly Russell Wilson's favorite target in this game.
Much agreed, much agreed. Now to a game that holds a little sentiment for Paul, but could be, and I don't understand why Chicago's favorite by 3 in this game. I really don't. Honestly, I don't. But Cincinnati goes to Chicago, and Cincinnati has a good offense and a daggone good defense. Chicago, they've had some issues with the offensive line. Mark Pressman, he's got his top receiver complaining a little bit about his role in the offense. He's trying to still experiment with Michael Bush because at the beginning of the preseason he was giving Forte the goal line touches. Now it's Bush getting them. He still hasn't made that up. I think that team's a little bit in disarray. They're not going to be 10-6 this year, and they shouldn't have fired Lovie. But I think Cincinnati goes in there mad that they're a 3-point dog and just wipes the floor with Chicago. Honestly, I really think they do. I'm picking Cincinnati. Paul, you're going to be last since this is your home team. Let's go Jerry, Michael, then Paul.
I think this game is an extremely close game. Extremely close. These two teams, believe it or not, in my opinion, are close in skill-wise on both sides of the ball. And that the reason why Chicago is a three-point favorite is because they're playing home. And usually if it's considered an even game, the home team gets a three-point kicker edge. This is going to be a hard-fought game, and Cincinnati, I don't know if they're getting overhyped, but I think they're getting a little more hyped than they actually should be. They're a good team. They're a young team, and they're going in to Chicago as a home opener. and Jay Cutler, who's in a contract year. They have something to prove, and they did show up the offensive line. I like this game, and I think Brandon Marshall. I don't care what anybody says. Brandon Marshall is going to get showcased in this, and he's going to have his 6 or 7 catches, 80 to 90 yards with a touchdown.
Michael,
you there?
Yeah, waiting on Mike.
He dropped off.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, Victor, I couldn't disagree with you more. The Bengals are not going to wipe the floor against the Bears. In fact, the Bears are going to win this game. The Bears are led by a veteran defense. Peanut Tillman, they brought in DJ Williams. And you know what? If DJ Williams struggles, they got the steal of the draft with John Bostic in the second round. Julius Peppers, that defense, it was, what, number one in turnovers for the longest time. I know Lovie's not there, but they're keeping the same defense in place. So that Bears defense is going to be ready to play. Towards the end of the preseason, the Bears finally solidified that offensive line, and they're making huge holes for Matt Forte. I like the look of the new O-line. Starting two rookies, yeah, it's a little risky. But they're the two best players on the team for those spots. And I don't think the team's in disarray. Brandon Marshall is like a normal wide receiver. He wants the ball thrown to him. And as it was said earlier, the Bears have something to prove. And I agree with you on one point, Victor. The Bears aren't going to win 10 games this year. They're going to win 11. So the Bears get this one.
Okay. You're wrong, as usual. But
I guess we'll find out tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll find out tomorrow. Miami goes to the upstart Cleveland Browns. Now, look, these two teams, and if you listen to the summer, guys, I said Miami might just win the AFC East. I might have to back off of that and pick Buffalo. But this is going to be a very good game. North Turner has got that offense working, and the defense has always been there. So if Whedon can connect with Cameron Jordan and Greg Little and Devon Best, because Devon Best is stepping up for Josh Gordon over the next four games, that slot guy, whoever the slot guy is up there, might come up big time. There's still some issues with Tanning Hill getting the ball to Mike Wallace. Hartline, he'll be your PPR machine there with the catches, maybe not touchdowns, but with catches. And Chris Gibbons, or Gibson, excuse me, Gibson is in Miami, and he hasn't
Brandon, Brandon Gibson.
Yeah, thank you very much, Brandon Gibson. I'm not sure why he hasn't, because the kid is explosive. But Lamar Miller will not have any traction in this game. Cleveland has a very good defense. I'm thinking Cleveland win their opener and put some hope in that city. So with that being said, let's go Paul, then Jerry.
Well, so how I see it, these are two teams both trending in the same general direction. You know, they both have been not really bad, but not really good, and they're both bringing in players to help get them to that next higher level. I'm going to go with the Browns for the fact that they might have the best offensive line in football. It's debatable, but they're at least in the top five. When you have that good of an offensive line with Trent Richardson, you know, anytime you get that kind of line with an SEC running back, especially one that went to Alabama, you're gonna be able to move the ball. So I would like for Richardson to have a pretty good game, and I think the Browns are going to win. It's not going to be a blowout. Just they're the home team. They're going to win this battle in the trenches, and when you win that battle, they're going to win the game.
Well, before you talk, Jerry, I want to bring something up that Paul just mentioned. I think you're right. They probably have one of the top five offensive lines in the game. Brandon Whedon was not sacked at all in the preseason. And that says something, because Cleveland played some pretty decent teams in the preseason. So you got a point there. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, I have to echo what Paul's saying. I really, this is going to be I wouldn't say a surprise team to me, but, excuse me, one of the best moves that Cleveland had done is getting that offensive coordinator. I don't like him as a head coach, but he's one of the better offensive coordinators in the NFL. I'm talking about Norvell Turner. He's going to showcase Trent Richardson. And the second-year tight end, Jordan Cameron, and put Brandon Whedon in spots that he can succeed. So I do like Cleveland Browns to win this game.
All right. We're all on that. Now the game that begins my victory to another $100. Minnesota goes to Detroit. Now here's the dichotomy of this, ladies and gentlemen. It's really twisted. In one of my big payout leagues, I drafted all of Detroit's big players, Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, and Calvin Johnson. So, with that being said, I'm going to say this about Minnesota. Christian Ponder is going to surprise everyone tomorrow.
What is with you and Florida State quarterbacks? Holy crap.
AP, listen to what I'm saying here. I want y'all to listen. AP is going to begin his campaign for 2,107 yards tomorrow. He's going to have a very good load. However, Christian Ponder will throw three touchdowns. That's two to Kyle Rudolph. And one to either Cordell or to Greg Jennings. I think Minnesota wins this game. It's going to be a high-scoring game, in my opinion, because Detroit has weapons. This is going to be a big, big game. It's going to be like, oh, wow, I didn't think this much scoring. I'm still worried about Detroit's defense. So, therefore, I'm picking Minnesota in a high-scoring game, and my dark sheep or surprise pick would be Christian Ponder, if you have no other choice. Take it away, Paul, then Jerry. We're going to finish the whole show like this. Paul, then Jerry, after me.
Well, I couldn't disagree with you more.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say don't start Christian Ponder. Don't even put him on your team. The Lions' defense is a good defense, and Christian Ponder isn't that good of a quarterback. And I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think the Lions are going to pull it off. I think it's going to be, you know, the run-of-the-mill, mid-20s to mid-teens. Lions are at home. Christian Ponder, I just can't trust him. And the Vikings, in my opinion, got worse throughout the offseason. Minnesota
mm-hmm.
hate these. They're still going to be a threat. But to me, they didn't improve. They stayed the same. Lions at least brought in more weapons, like Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush would be someone I would think about starting this week. And so I'm going to take the Lions at home.
Excuse me. Okay. I have to disagree with my esteemed host. Minnesota is just like Cincinnati, and I hate to put them in the same category, but both these teams are in the offseason were getting hyped. And for some reason, I don't know why Minnesota's gotten hyped when their quarterback is one of the worst quarterbacks in the NFL. Three touchdowns, he'll be lucky if he throws one. In this game, I really love Detroit. They had an abysmal year last year, And their head coach is basically on a hot seat, and the defense has a lot to prove from what happened last year. Dominic Sue is now a captain on that team, meaning he'd carry himself in a different way. I know a lot of people don't like Dominic Sue, but the fact is that he's got that captain C, that C on his jersey. Can possibly tell you that he's turning his ways around, especially on the field. I love Detroit in this game. Everybody, for the most part, thinks Minnesota is this machine that's going to be a lot better than they were. I'm not one of them. I've said it over the last few months. I don't think that much of Minnesota, and especially Christian Ponder. They added Greg Jennings, but Greg Jennings, he's going to regret going to Minnesota. Let me put it that way. With going from Aaron Rodgers to Christian Ponder. Minnesota cannot keep up with the offense that Detroit's going to come out with. Matthew Stafford, Reggie Bush, Calvin Johnson, Brandon Pettigrew. Matthew Stafford threw the most of any quarterback in the NFL. Put up a lot of points, a lot of stats. It ain't going to happen for Minnesota in Detroit tomorrow.
Okay. Oakland and Indianapolis. Right now, Indianapolis is a 12-point favorite. However, Oakland's going to start Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor, by no stretch of imagination, is a accurate quarterback. But he brings the running dynamic that will keep this game close. Yes, I'm picking Indianapolis, but what I'm telling you guys is bet against the spread. Take that 11 or and a half points or 12 points. It's going to be closer than that. I know it's in Indianapolis, AstroTurf, and you got big, fast Terrell Pryor and Denarius Moore. If he can find a way to get the ball to Denarius Moore down the field, it will be amazing. But I think Terrell Pryor, if you had to play somebody from Oakland, not Run DMC, I mean, he'll be the regular guy, of course, but a sneaky pick for me would be Terrell Pryor. Andrew Luck, T.Y. Hilton, Darius Haywood-Bey is going to have an awesome game against his old team. And take a look at that young DJ Hayden. He's going to start at the nickel position for the Raiders, the kid that got drafted in the first round who actually died at practice at Houston, when he was at the University of Houston, and they gave him a new heart. So that's a good story, but I don't think it's good enough to beat Indianapolis at home. Paul.
Well, I agree with the idea that the Colts are going to win, But after watching the Raiders in the preseason, they look like a dysfunctional team. And for Terrell Pryor to be able to run and get those points, he's going to need an offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not seen anything from the Raiders' offensive line that would indicate that they can do that for him. So not that I think the Colts have a dominating defense, but the Raiders just don't have the pieces right now. And I wish they did. I like the Raiders, but they don't. They don't have the pieces. Terrell Pryor doesn't have the experience. And if you're betting on it, I'd say take the Colts to cover the spread. Because the Colts were in the playoffs last year. They had the better quarterback. They had the better skill position. They had the better defense. They had the better everything. So there's no way I could not pick the Colts in that game. And I think they're going to win by a good amount.
Home opener. Stanford's offensive coordinator is now Indianapolis's offensive coordinator. Huge comfort factor for Andrew Luck. You said a key thing there, Victor. If Terrell Pryor could find a way to get it to Denarius Moore, and that's the problem, to find a way to get it to a wide receiver. He's a very inaccurate quarterback, and relying on his legs, he'll probably be run for more yardage than he passes for. Let me put it that way.
I agree with that.
But with all his running around, still won't help him with a win against Indianapolis. Home opener, I smell blowout. Cover the spread easily in this game.
I doubt it, but let's move on. Green Bay at San Francisco. This has many, many implications in it because I was watching NFL Live and or one of those shows on ESPN, and they showed how in the divisional game versus Green Bay and against the in the Super Bowl versus the Ravens, how Navarro Bowman got beat because he was matched up against a wide receiver on a jerk route in the red zone. Now, whether or not, you know, it's the coverage, the scheme, whatever the case may be, it was the same exact play from two different teams with the same exact result. And what I'm hearing is that they want to hit Colin Kaepernick. Well, ladies and gentlemen, last year Aaron Rodgers was one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the NFL, if not the most sacked quarterback in the NFL. So if you're going to hit Colin, y'all better do something to protect Alex. I mean, not Alex. Aaron Rodgers. Because Aaron Rodgers, yeah, he's elusive. Yes, he can get the ball out of his hands. But y'all have a patched up offensive line, okay? And you're not that good at protecting your quarterback. Your receivers are okay at best. I'm picking San Fran, and I'm picking him to run away with it. So, my pick on San Fran to play, they're going to flex out my boy Vernon Davis at wide receiver because Jonathan Baldwin, you know, that one-for-one trade with Kansas City, I don't know if it's going to work out, but Baldwin's a big target. But I don't think he's got enough time in there with Cap to get the report. Plus, Anquan Boldin is a daggone good receiver. So I'm picking San Fran and VD to be my surprise play, and Randall Cobb on Green Bay. Of course, that's a regular guy, but that's what I'm picking. Go ahead, Paul.
Well, looks like we have to disagree again. And I'm going to go against what everyone is saying. San Francisco, the best team in the NFL. I'm not saying that they're not the best team in the NFL. What I'm saying is there's a guy who's already won an MVP, already won a Super Bowl, and already has a Super Bowl MVP, and he's going to want to remind everybody that he's the one who has all that and not Colin Kaepernick. I think Aaron Rodgers. I'm a homer. I'm a Bears fan. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to remind everybody just how good he is. And with those no-name receivers like James Jones, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and don't forget Jermichael Finley, oh, and he just got a new weapon, Eddie Lacy. He finally has a running back. And the Packers' defense is surprisingly healthy with Clay Matthews ready to get them going. I think the Packers are going to pull off the upset and beat the 49ers and set the tone for their season.
Well, I'm going to correct you on something. Jerry just got finished burying Jermichael Finley. You don't know the story on that, but he just got finished putting Jermichael Finley in a shallow grave.
Yeah.
Stop.
This goes back a couple years. But you're wrong. Go ahead, Jerry.
All right. This game is an extremely hard game to gauge. You got San Francisco playing a home with Green Bay. These two teams really don't like each other, and for good reason. They're both very, very good teams, highly competitive teams, with two good quarterbacks. I shouldn't say two good quarterbacks. One good quarterback and one great quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. I'm still going back and forth as I'm talking here, trying to figure out who I really think is going to win this game. I'd have to go with the defense. I understand that Aaron Rodgers is playing. I understand that he's got a new toy in Eddie Lacy. But it's going up against a very good run defense. And playing at home, I got to believe these guys play with a chip on their shoulder also from what happened in the Super Bowl last year. And come out and make a statement saying we're here again and we're going for it. We're going back to the Super Bowl again. So it's going to be an extremely close game, but I might have to pick out the 49ers to win this.
All right. Let's go on to another game that's going to be pretty good. I think the schedule makers did a good job for week one at least. Arizona goes to St. Louis. This is going to be surprisingly a very good game. It's going to be a very good defensive game. Rashad Mendenhall makes his debut with Arizona along with Carson Palmer, but they make it against the St. Louis defense. St. Louis gave up on average, I believe it was like 14, 15 points per game last year, and they got better. Conversely, Arizona was like their ranked number 5th or 6th defense in the league last year against the run, and they were pretty decent against the pass. When you add Tyrann Mathieu to it, that's pretty good. You know what I mean? Tyrann is not a solid corner for me in man coverage. In zone, he's okay. So we'll see what happens there. But I'm thinking St. Louis in this game. And Darrell Richardson has a pretty good game for St. Louis, along with, of course, well, no, I'm not going to say of course because Fitz has got Courtland Finnegan against him. I want to say Andre Roberts or Michael Floyd, one of those two guys, not Rashad McKinney. Go ahead, Paul. Paul.
Yes, oh, sorry. Florida just got a big interception. So
they're still losing, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Whatever you say, Victor. So,
but it's
go ahead, Paul. I'm sorry.
I agree a lot with your sentiment. You know, I'd like to see. I'm excited to see the Cardinals this year because I want to see what Carson Palmer can do with Larry Fitzgerald. And I want to see if he still has anything left. You know, he started his career off so well, and then just these injuries have happened. I'd like to see him get a last hurrah. But for me, it's just hard to get over the Cardinals, except when they had Kurt Warner. Every year, seem to not be able to finish a game or get a good start. They always end well, make a little run at the end, but it's still not enough. And the Rams, with their defense at home, I'm just going to have to give the edge to the Rams. I think they're going to pull out the game, pull out the win. But I would still, as far as for fantasy, I mean, I would feel comfortable starting either one of these two defenses because, I mean, the Cardinals have fits, but you don't know what Carson Palmer is going to do. He is prone to throw picks. And that's the same with Sam Bradford. You don't know what he is yet. This will probably be the year that defines if the Rams are going to stick with him or not.
Okay. For St. Louis at home, they'll cover the spread. Arizona, I have to wait and see on what they're going to be all about. I have to really wait and see what St. Louis is going to be all about, but I think because of their playing home and their defense, I like them a little better, and I think they're going to cover. So, St. Louis.
All right, let's move on to the Giants and the Cowboys. It's going to be a very good game. I saw something that I really, really like and is going to make me pick Miles Austin as the MVP of this game. They've worked him in the slot a lot, and the Giants have they don't have a good person to cover him, especially when they go man-to-man. They're going to have to play zone. And even when they play zone, Miles Austin is going to kill him, him or Jason Witten. As you know, I do not like the Cowboys. I can't stand the Cowboys. But the Cowboys get their first victory at home versus the Giants. So they get week one victory, and they break that streak of four consecutive losses at home to the Giants. On the other side, Hakeem Nicks should do well against this cover two. It depends on how they do it. But the guy I'm looking at really is the tight end, Mr. Myers. Mr. Myers, the tight end typically should be able to split that cover two and do very well. It's just going to be a matter of can David Wilson run the ball effectively enough to set up the play-action pass so that Eli can hit Myers down the seam. Victor Cruz also, but I'm not too sold on him, especially versus the cover two. But I'm picking the Cowboys in this.
Well, I agree, Vic, that I think the Cowboys are going to get the win. I do think now that they officially changed the name of their stadium to AT&T, it's going to bring them some new luck, and they're going to start winning some home games. But in reality, I just think the Cowboys have the better personnel. And then Tony Romo has something to prove. And I agree with your estimate of Miles Austin working out of the flat, though. I still think the MVP of the game is going to be Tony Romo's favorite person, Jason Witten. But the thing to watch out for, and that doesn't, is just Eli Manning is that up and down guy. Last year was down, so this year could be up. And if that's the case, then the Giants are a team to watch. But I'm still going to go with the Cowboys for this game.
I'll make it short and sweet. I picked the Cowboys.
Okay. Real quick, Washington. Philly goes to Washington. Of course, you know why I'm going to pick. There's too much trouble in Philadelphia. Too much. Whenever the quarterback can say that these young guys don't respect me and you're the quarterback, there's a problem there. Even though the offenses are going to be dynamic because it's going to be Michael Vick doing the running and stuff like that. So we'll see what happens. I honestly think Riley Cooper's going to have a good game along with Deshaun Jackson. But with that said, they won't be able to stop Alfred Morris or Pierre Garçon. So I'm picking my skins to win. Those are my people. RG3 doesn't show a spectacular game, but he does just enough to beat the Eagles. Paul.
I'm going to keep this one short, but I don't know what the trend is in football, but I do know in baseball, usually when a player, his first game back off the disabled list is when he has his best game. And then it's that next 5-7 where he actually has to get his timing back. This is going to be RG3's first game back from injury. I think in this particular game, he's going to have a huge, huge game. I don't know what he's going to do for the rest of the season, but if you have RG3 this week, I would start him because that Eagles defense has not looked good for a while, and he has something to prove this week. So I think RG3 is going to have a big game, and the rest of them are going to win.
I can agree with that. Jerry.
Okay. Got two dynamic quarterbacks, very mobile, and can wing the ball down the field. I'm almost thinking this may be a shootout because I know Washington's defense is a little better. Philly defense is very suspect right now. Monday night showcase. I agree with Paul that guys that come back from injury have something to prove. And I think RG3 is going to have a very good game. Unfortunately, Victor, and I'm just kidding, I think Washington's going to win the game.
You better not be saying that because I was going to say that. Now, we're going to finish up with Jerry's adopted team since he really doesn't have a real team since he left the Jets.
Stop. Will you stop? See, now I gave you that, and all of a sudden you just give me a backhanded slap. But that's okay. That's okay.
Wanted to play games. But this should be an academic game right here. Houston at San Diego. They're just awful, San Diego, that is. I don't see anything positive happening on San Diego's side. If they score, I will be amazed. Houston should go off on them. Arian Foster should have, even though he hasn't played, he should have a very good game, good enough that they'll probably sit him by halftime and let Ben Tate finish out the game. That's how good I think Houston's going to be Monday night. So, of course, I'm picking the Houston Texans. Go ahead, Paul.
All right. I agree. The Chargers don't have a lot going for them. They're not going to be a good team this year. Texans have a lot of weapons. A lot of people feel they're the class of the AFC. And they're going to have a big game. Job will put up some numbers. Arian Foster will put up some numbers. And, you know, Andre Johnson, as always, will put up some numbers. And the Chargers aren't going to be able to stop them. So it will be academic. It will be showcasing how to carve apart a team. No, I'm taking the Texans.
All right. This is my team, the Houston Texans, playing San Diego. San Diego is just learning a new offense and got rid of their old head coach, Mr. Norvell Turner, and have a new head coach. Like I said, they're learning a new offense. And they had a lot of change in personnel. And just like Paul said, they're not going to be a very good team. And they're going to be struggling to win games. And I don't think they're going to win this one. My person of interest, and I'm probably going to say it again tomorrow, I've liked this guy, and I've talked about him throughout the offseason, leading into preseason. Unfortunately, he sustained a concussion, but I think he's going to be playing. I'm talking about the wide receiver that's supposed to be the bookend or other side of the field with the Andre Johnson is DeAndre Hopkins. So I'm looking I'm anxious to see how he plays, how Matt Schaub gets him involved in the offense. But I do believe Houston wins this game easily.
I agree. I'm glad you brought up Hopkins because that's another guy I think is going to have a great game. But, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Fantasy Sports Topics Saturday Edition. We are full of joy that the football season is here. And we're going to close the show on this. JTAT and Money made a bet with me because we have, like, several Fantasy Football League teams. And he picked the one that he scheduled to beat me by a lot.
Victor? Yeah, I didn't pick that. I didn't pick it. You picked it. You
blushed.
No. When we first came out, you said, I'll bet you this week on this team, and I said fine. And then when we drafted the other leagues, then you decided, I wanted to add those teams. I said, no, we made one bet with one league. That's how it's going to be.
So you made your bet.
You made your bet. You lie in it.
I made my bet. Well, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Because Jerry knows that he's going to get whooped in those leagues, I'm going to run down the leagues real quick. Or you got it up, Jerry?
I'm listening to you, Victor.
Dante, you have those games.
What games?
The one game. I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. I'm going to run down both our teams. Here's the league that we have this $100 bet in. Now, he's supposed to beat me 108-94. Now, the scoring's a little bad, but here we go. Real quick. My team. And we'll let Paul decide. You know what? I'm just gonna mention the team. I want Paul to tell me who has the best team. Okay?
Okay.
God.
Here's the starting lineup, and we're not changing. Team number one: Russell Wilson, Jamal Charles, Steven Jackson, Darren Sproles, Randall Cobb, Danny Amendola, Jermichael Finley, Justin Smith, Calais Campbell, Avante David, Donald Butler, Stephen Tulloch, Malcolm Jenkins, and Matt Prater. Matt Prater got that team 7 points already from Thursday. The other team, Colin Kaepernick, Arian Foster, Maurice Jones-Drew, Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, Andre Johnson, Ken Britt, Jason Witten, Ndamukong Suh, Jared Allen, James Laurinaitis, Navarro Bowman, Brian Arakpo, Harrison Smith, and Robbie Gould. Paul, who has a better team?
Well, I'm assuming your team, too, so, but I'm still going to pick it anyway. I would go with team two.
Why?
Because they have Robbie Gould. No, I'm kidding. I like the skill positions. I like the wide receiver, the tight end, and quarterback better. And I like the defensive players better on that team, too. I think they have a better chance of getting sacks, at least on the D-line and linebacker options. And, of course, Robbie Gould is the highest paid kicker in the NFL, so he's the man.
Okay. That's all I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear objective
opinion. See, Paul, you know why he said that, right? You know why he brought up. He wanted to have somebody reassure him and make him feel better about his team.
Oh, for real?
Could I actually interject, like, one thing really quick, since this is
sure.
before
sure.
politics? I just want to say, and 50% of Yahoo leagues, Will Venable and Brett Gardner are both available at Fantasy Baseball. In the past 2 weeks, they're both hitting over 300. Gardner's stealing bases and Venable's hitting home runs. If you're looking to make a late playoff push, I'd say grab one of those two outfielders.
Well, thanks to me, JT won't be doing that at all.
that had nothing to do with you. I told you before. You didn't beat me. Last week, the week before is when I needed to win. The week before, if I had won the week before in the league, then I would have definitely been in the playoffs. I was fighting a huge uphill battle because of the way you have that league set up. It's not the win loss record; it's the percentage, and that's the difference. And so I was fighting a huge battle, uphill battle, and the only way I would have won that and been able to get in the playoffs if I had won the next to last week of the regular season in the fantasy league. Once I lost that, I basically knew that I really wasn't going to make the playoffs.
Okay, Twitter's been out. All right, I understand. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, thank y'all for listening to Fantasy Sports and Politics. We almost went over into 2 hours, but we didn't quite do it. I want to thank my cousin for coming in and chiming in. I want to thank Paul, who stumped the hump. So, Paul, you're welcome to come back every week with a new trivia question that Jerry won't be able to answer, and you'll be my new bestest friend. But we want to thank you for coming on here and sharing some information and actually gave some good insight. For and against certain situations, which is what I like. I like an even keel thing, not just always one sided, so I appreciate that. JT, my boy, always, thanks for co-hosting. I'm going to take your money this week and what you enjoy some
we'll
football.
See.
Paul.
We'll see. Can't wait
Paul,
tomorrow.
Yes.
And my Bart Scott voice, can't wait. Paul, you got anything you want to say before we end the show?
One thing really quick, going back to the Orioles-Ravens. Just the Orioles would have lost a lot of money if they moved that game. If they switched to a doubleheader, not as many people are going to show up. If they lose a home game, then it's, 80 home games, 82 road games, and they lose money. I think if maybe the NFL would have been more willing to give them money to offset it, something might have happened. But there's no reason that they should have to take a loss just to help the NFL.
Agreed. All right, JT, what you got to say before we go?
Well, I'm looking forward to watching some football. Been waiting the whole off season for this. I can't wait to I saw the first game on Thursday, which was exciting. Hopefully we have a whole Sunday full of those type of games.
I feel the same exact way. Ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate you guys listening to us. We appreciate everything that you guys bring to us. You can stay with us all year long. Why? Because we are who we say we are, and that's the best. So for my co-host, JKTM Money, my new Stump the Hump pal, Paul, you've been listening to
Fantasy Sports and Politics.
Get ready to rumble!
You want to talk smack, you in the right place. So take a step back before I get all up in your face. I know you got your little views, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.